Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on the second day of April 2019. I hope that most of you got over the trauma you may have received yesterday when I announced that I had converted to five-point Arminianism and left the Fellowship of Grace Baptist Church of Carlisle, a Reformed Baptist church, to join a Wesleyan congregation as an April Fool's joke. So I hope that most of you are not holding onto any grudges against me for that joke, and that we can move on as normal now. I'm delighted to have on the show two returning guests. We have Ryan Denton, who was a pastor on the Navajo Reservation before starting Christ in the Wilderness Ministries, which he has directed since 2016. And Scott Smith, who ran a classical Christian school for 17 years in Orlando, Florida, before going into open-air preaching ministry full-time. And today we are addressing part two of a discussion that we began some weeks ago on the book that they have co-authored, A Certain Sound, A Primer on Open-Air Preaching. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you both to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio once again, Ryan Denton and Scott Smith. And let me give our email address out right away for our listeners who want to ask a question of you two. It's chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA, and only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. In fact, if anybody, after this show is over, if you missed part one of our discussion with Ryan Denton and Scott Smith, the first part of this interview originally aired on March 11th, Monday, March 11th. So if you go to the archive of ironsharpensironradio.com and look into the past show's podcast archive, if you type in either of their names, Ryan Denton or Scott Smith, it should come up, and that would be the March 11th broadcast. That was part two. I'm sorry, that was part one of what we are discussing today in part two. That is A Certain Sound, A Primer on Open Air Preaching, a book that has been recently published by our friends at Reformation Heritage Books. First of all, before we go into this topic again about open air preaching, Ryan Denton, for those of our listeners who did not hear you the first time, why don't you tell our listeners about Christ in the Wild Ministries?
Yeah, Christ in the Wild Ministries is, we're based in El Paso, Texas, but we do travel around the country and sometimes into the UK. And our primary purpose is to bring the gospel outside of the church walls, primarily through open-air preaching, but that could also include jails, prisons, homeless shelters, things like that. So it's mainly just a way to go and preach Christ. We also do training and discipleship for those men who want to also learn how to preach in the open air. So we do that locally. We also As opportunities arise, we'll go and do trainings in other areas too. But that's mainly what we do. That's the main focus. We're under the oversight or the accountability of our local church here in El Paso, and glad to have their backing and support. And yeah, been doing it since 2016.
And I assume that if you're preaching open air to prison inmates, somebody better call the warden because they've escaped.
Yeah, that's right. I guess unless you're in the yard somehow. But
yeah, I guess so.
It's always, that part's always been inside, right?
Or perhaps a chain gang. I think that there may be some places down south that still have chain gangs. But
that's right.
And I hope I didn't misspeak when I announced the name of your ministry. I think the last time I started by calling it Christ in the Wilderness Ministries, and I apologize for that. It's Christ in the Wild Ministry.
No, that's fine. Right.
And for anybody who wants to look up that website, it's ChristInTheWild.com. ChristInTheWild.com. Now, Scott Smith, tell us something about your schoolmaster ministries.
Sure. I started a prep school down in Florida and did that for 17 years. But once I really got the desire to do evangelism full-time, that was just a natural segue from having been a schoolmaster to thinking about the law as a schoolmaster that leads to Christ. So I just kind of kept that theme of schoolmaster and just sort of put on the evangelist hat instead of the teacher hat. But that was the goal, was to use the law as we learn from Ray Comfort, and then, you know, then lead them to Christ, and that was kind of the theme that got me going. But I spent most of my time training guys, as opposed to me just going out by myself. I would spend a lot of time with guys in different cities, set up teams in about 7 or 8 different cities, and I would go back around and spend time with these guys and try to nurture and encourage them in the calling that, you know, that I felt the Lord had placed on them. But a lot of guys didn't end up making it full-time. It really wasn't probably the best thing for them. So I came to a point where I realized the training, while important, needed to take second fiddle to just actually being on the campuses myself with guys that do it full-time. And so I transitioned about 5 years ago, and I do a lot of preaching on campuses pretty much around the country, you know, with Ryan and other full-time guys. And then anyone that wants to come to get trained at those campuses, I'll still mentor them and spend time with them, but you know, it's hard to do what only the Holy Spirit can do for them.
Amen. And you said something very important about the law, which is our schoolmaster.
Yes.
That makes us realize how sinful we are, and makes us realize that we are in desperate and urgent need of a Savior. If indeed. That will occur if indeed the Lord has mercy on us and regenerates us and opens our eyes and gives us new hearts and new ears. But this is a common thing, I'm sure you would agree, in the modern day evangelical world to cut out that part. They think that perhaps they're confusing the ceremonial law of the Old Covenant, and they think that you are, or we are, dragging people back into the heresy of the Judaizers, or perhaps they have just a very horrible and heretical, watered-down gospel that is devoid of repentance, where you are just to tell everybody that all you've got to do is say, I'm a sinner and I need Jesus. And perhaps today you don't even need to say that you're a sinner. You just need Jesus, and bingo, you're saved. You don't have anything to worry about, no matter how you live, no matter how in allegiance to Satan you might be for the remainder of your life, you are being told that you are saved. And this, of course, is one of the worst tragedies that has saturated the church. Would you not both agree with that?
Yeah. I think both legalism and antinomianism both are dangerous, you know, culverts you don't want to drop into. So, but yes, it seems like right now people, like at the abortion clinic, they kill their babies, and then they say, Jesus understands, my pastor told me God knows, and he understands, and I mean, it's just awful what they'll say at these killing places. So, yeah, the antinomianism is really very, very bad in the professing church.
Yeah, same thing on the college campuses. When you go there, you have the one of our most persistent nemesis are the professing Christians, a lot of them, and they oppose any kind of mention of sin, you know, the righteousness of God, holiness of God, especially hell, things like that. So it really, whenever you go out of the church with the gospel, that's definitely what you encounter.
Now, I'm assuming... I'm sorry?
We saw this firsthand. Ryan and I both, we were at University of New Mexico this past week, and after we had preached for about four straight hours using the law, helping people see they were sinners in need of a Savior, as we were leaving, a Christian from one of the groups says, you know, I just have something to say, and I said, well, it's a free speech here, I can't stop you. And he basically got up and he said, look, you know, God knows we all make mistakes, and there isn't anybody that's perfect, and these guys aren't perfect, and you know, so God loves you. Don't get all worried about stuff. I mean, it was like just everything he had said he contradicted. You know.
Yeah. yeah. I have been so disturbed for. I mean, people think I'm mentally disturbed anyway, but I've been so disturbed ever since being a part of the Christian radio industry to hear. What the predominant number of successful, and when I say successful, I'm talking about perhaps in regard to the numerical growth of their audience and the number of radio stations they are on, either nationally or globally. And I'm not trashing everybody because I am on the radio myself. So, but the majority seem to be teaching a very smooth and easy gospel devoid of repentance, and it really, in the long run, radically diminishes, if not totally eclipses, anything amazing that is about grace and anything that is good about the good news, because if you don't know that you are a wretched sinner headed for hell, why would you want to celebrate giving up everything that you are participating in or loving that has become an idol in your life, that are offenses to God? Why would you be celebrating giving all of that up to become a Christian if indeed the good news is not astronomically phenomenal news?
Yeah.
I want to make sure that we cover some things that we didn't cover last time, and one of those things, before I go into a do's and don'ts when it comes to open-air preaching, and perhaps we could even start with the don'ts in a moment before we go to the do's, but one thing that is very controversial about Reformed evangelism, and perhaps this would be something that would make you two very unique in the world of open-air preachers, because I have heard from many of the open-air preachers that I know that Reformed open-air evangelists, although a growing number of Christians who are involved in open-air preaching are Reformed, they would appear to be in the minority. I don't know if you would agree with that or not. Would you? Yeah. One of the controversies involved in the approach to evangelizing the lost, and this gets people really upset if they are not Reformed, and even some misguided people who claim to be Reformed but don't seem to be consistent on this area. The majority of people that are Christians, especially evangelicals, will approach total strangers, and that would be the majority of people you'd be preaching to in an open-air evangelism, and tell them, God loves you and sent his son to die for you. Now, according to Reformed theology, the only one you can say that to are those assembled in the church, who you are assuming are Christian. Because even in the church, we cannot read minds and hearts, but we are assuming that those gathered there are believers, and you might even want to be more specific and say something like, this is not a message for those who are visiting here who do not yet know Christ, but if you are a Christian, God loves you and sent his son Jesus Christ to die for you. But people use that phrase in a very haphazard way, and a way where they would include openly lost people in that message. But that, isn't that a dangerous thing? Isn't that a dangerous level of comfort that you're giving to total strangers by telling them that God loves you and sent his son to die for you? Because in my opinion, if I was hearing that as a lost person in a crowd, I would say, well, that's good news. Great, thanks for letting me know. I guess I could just go home now and do what I was doing before. God loves me. Jesus died for my sins. What more do I need than that? See you later. I mean, can you both respond to that?
Yeah, go ahead, Ryan.
It's the inconsistency of saying that Jesus died for you, and yet if you die in your sins, you still go to hell. And I think that's one of the reasons why hell is downplayed, one of the few reasons. I think there are several, but I think that is one of them, just inconsistent theology. And then also, we were talking about antinomianism earlier, and it's like you said, Chris, if I know that what I'm doing is wrong, and yet God loves me anyways, and Christ died for my sins, there really is no motive or certainly no urgency to actually investigate, you know, what is this God that they're talking about? Who is this God? What does it mean that Christ has died for sin, and is sin really that bad? If God loves me anyways, despite all these sins that I'm living in right now. So it's definitely hazardous for evangelism and open air preaching also. Yeah. And it's something we encounter every day, every time we go out.
No evangelist has the right to look at a crowd and say, God loves you. The reality is, and I told the kids this the other day at University of Mexico, God loves and God hates. And they immediately screamed out, what do you mean God hates? And I was like, sure, you know, Psalm 5:5, or, you know, Jacob, I love you, sorry, I hate it. I mean, just, they can't even imagine that God would ever hate. But I said, look, it's because God is good that he hates. And if you won't repent, if you won't respond to this gospel, if you won't come under the lordship of Christ, if you won't call on the name of the Lord, you will be an object of that hatred because God is good. That's why you're in great danger. So instead of saying God loves everybody, we need to say God loves those that have come under the lordship of Christ, those that have called on the name of the Lord, those that have shown the same love and affection for Christ that the Father has for Christ. And that's a minority, and I don't mind even saying it to the crowd. You know, many are called, few are chosen, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. It's really an incredibly bad theology, and very, in my view, dangerous and mean to say to these poor perishing sinners that God loves them just the way they are. It just isn't true biblically.
Now, would it be appropriate, as a believer in the doctrines of sovereign grace, as a Reformed Christian, to perhaps not be as specific and to appear as if you are a prophet by telling people that God loves you and sent his son to die for you? Would it be appropriate to be more general and still remain faithful to what the Bible teaches and say, God loves sinners and sent his son to die for sinners? You're not telling the people that he died, that Christ died for every sinner, we who believe in particular redemption or definite atonement or limited atonement. We don't believe that Christ died for every sinner, because if he died for every sinner would be saved. Every sinner would be redeemed. Every sinner would have his sins atoned for, because Christ completed a perfect work on Calvary. He didn't provide a hypothetical salvation, or he didn't make men savable by dying. He saved them, he redeemed them, and he made an atonement for their sin. But would it be appropriate to say Jesus died for sinners?
Yeah, I think it is, and some of the language that I think is also appropriate is to say, you know, Christ died for his sheep, Christ died for those who come to him in faith, Christ died for those who hear his voice. In other words, you're not necessarily excluding anybody. You're trying to lift up Christ in a way that does make him the savior of sinners, while at the same time acknowledging that it's not unconditional. I mean, God's love is conditioned upon the fact that you believe in Christ. And, of course, we know that that belief is something that God has decreed in eternity past, but it's just, you know, when you're preaching the gospel, I think it does most definitely include the fact that Christ has died for sinners. That's why he came to earth. That's what he's come to do, and he still saves sinners today across the world. And but it is, you know, it's a fine line because of all the really just the poor theology that's out there. It is a fine line because I think in our heads we want to go to such an extreme to make sure that we don't cross over and sound like we're Arminians. But, you know, if you think about it, I mean, the people that we preach to, by and large, they don't have a clue, you know, about Reformed theology, Arminian theology. And so I think it's, I think sometimes we can err by going so far to the extreme and making Christ so exclusive that, and he is exclusive, but in the sense of preaching, you know, that Christ only died for the elect. Well, that's true. But in the minds of the lost, unless we're explaining what that means, I think the danger is to make Christ not for the people we're preaching to. As far as just making a blanket statement, that almost sounds like, well, since none of you are saved, Christ has not died for any of you. Well, that might not necessarily be the case. Right.
Right. If you visit death row in a prison, there may be some there who are either already born again, who are among God's elect, or who will be using you as the means by which they hear the gospel. I mean, they could have been the most perverse and satanic serial killer. In fact, I think that there is very credible evidence that Jeffrey Dahmer came to Christ before departing this earth, before he was murdered in prison. And there is some credibility to Ted Bundy, but I'm not so sure it's as strong evidence as Jeffrey Dahmer. But there are, God's elect are not only amongst the most pious of pastors, they are amongst the most perverse of prostitutes and killers. And the thing that transforms them is when they are called out from either their self-righteousness or their unrepentant wickedness, and they are cleansed by the Holy Spirit and become transformed beings. They become new creations in Christ. So we always have to remember that Christ's elect are all over the place in places we would never readily expect. And isn't that fuel to your engine when you are out there and perhaps day after day after day after day you might see absolutely no positive response from crowds when you are doing open-air preaching, to know that God's elect are out there, and even if they don't respond to the gospel call in your presence, you may be planting seeds. They may get saved when they are home alone in their beds. They may get saved when they are lying in a hospital bed later on, dying, you know, because of the seeds you planted.
I always figured, you know, exactly what the scripture says, that God's word will not return void. It's not our business to know the secret things of God in terms of how he converts and when, but our job is to stand at our post and be faithful. And I'm not at all ashamed to say, you know, God Jesus didn't die for goats, he died for sheep. His sheep hear his voice. Are you one of his sheep? If you are one of his sheep, you're going to turn away from iniquity, you're going to be turning to the shepherd, you're going to be following the shepherd. So, I mean, that still is kind of Reformed theology, but it makes it, you know, sort of pretty easy for somebody to understand, because now they're going to ask themselves, well, am I a sheep or am I a goat, you know? But, yeah, I mean, God, that's what I think buoys up Ryan, buoys up myself, and puts us in positions where even when there's adversity, when the cops are around, you say to yourself, Father, I know your purposes can't be thwarted. It's impossible. And it's not up to me to try to figure out how to push this kingdom forward. Your word is going to advance your kingdom in your own timing, and just give me the strength and the willingness to be faithful and stand here for your glory.
Yeah, we were talking before about for whom Christ died, and one of the most precious texts in the scriptures, and the most widely known even amongst the lost, is John 3:16. It's something that's held up on placards at sporting events, and just most people seem to know something about John 3:16, although it was hilarious. I remember years ago when my late wife and I were furniture shopping, and we bought a painting and at this furniture store, and John 3:16 was written on the bottom, not the actual text, but just John 3:16 was written by the artist at the bottom of the painting. And I looked at that, and I said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." And the salesman in the furniture shop said, "Are you a theologian? How did you know that?" But it's interesting that those outside of the Reformed camp think that that settles the issue on their side. That means, of course, that Jesus died for every single human being that ever lived and ever will live. But the text, as I heard, I think it was John Reisinger, who just went home to be with the Lord not long ago. I think it was him that I first heard say that this text screams of limited atonement, because it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him shall not perish, but have eternal life." God has provided the atonement, the redemption, perfectly for those that believe. So therefore, he could not have died for every single person that ever lived. Obviously, misusing the word "world" there, I think, anyway. I know that some Reformed people do disagree on exactly how to exegete this, but I happen to believe that the word "world" there refers to those from out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, just the way that same author referred to that concept in the book of Revelation. You two have any comments on that?
Yeah, I think it was B.B. Warfield, who talked about that kind of love being in the sense that really the depravity of man is so bad and so evil that the kind of love that God demonstrates, it's not a quantitative love, it's a qualitative love. So it's talking about the quality of God's love and not necessarily every human being who's ever born. And like you said, there is a very clear distinction there. It's whoever believes, as you mentioned. And so even there, again, going back to the question that you asked as far as how we preach this text or how we evangelize in light of our theological convictions, I think it's right there, the fact that there is a condition, that God's love is conditional, and it's based upon those who believe, as opposed to just making it just kind of a universal kind of love.
Right, and by the way, brother, wherever your mouth is right now, keep it there, because you were drifting away while you were speaking before. I don't know if you were moving around, but your last couple of words were heard perfectly, and before that you started to sound like you were in a tin can when you were backing away from...
Okay.
Appreciate that. But
just as a follow-up to what Ryan said, it's interesting to me that John 3:16 is known so well, but no one seems to know John 3:17 or John 3:18, because if you did, you'd understand that he who has not the Son of God has not life, but what? The wrath of God abides on him.
Right.
So if that scripture were ever read in context, I mean, goodness gracious, there it is right there. Doesn't God love everybody? He loves those who believe. And you and I know they only believe because God gives them the ability to believe through regeneration. So... it's a limited atonement text, and it's in a context.
Amen. Well, we have to go to our first break right now. If anybody wants to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence. If you live outside the USA, please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Ryan Denton and Scott Smith right after these messages with more on Open Air Preaching.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, host of A Visit to the Pastor's Study, and I am so thankful to be part of the advertising family right here on Iron Sharpens Iron. If you live on Long Island, or if you're visiting the metropolitan New York area, I invite you to join us for worship at The Haven on Sundays at 4:30 p.m. We meet at the Ascension Lutheran Church facility, 33 Bayshore Road in Deer Park, New York. The Haven, you'll find God-saturated singing, gospel-rich ministry, and great commission opportunities. Learn more about us at thehavenli.com and join us this Sunday at 4:30 p.m., 33 Bayshore Road, Deer Park, New York.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World Now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church, NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit SolidRockRemodeling.com. That's SolidRockRemodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Did you know that all believers are priests? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Apostle Peter describes Christ's church as comprising a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So if you're a Christian, you're also a priest. Now you can find the newest styles in Reformed and Protestant apparel at citizenpriest.com. Citizenpriest.com specializes in Christian-themed t-shirts and clothing especially for Reformed Christians. Citizenpriest.com's merchandise is purposefully scripture-based and meant for the edification of the saints and the furtherance of the gospel. Let everyone know that you stand firm on the doctrines of the Reformed faith by wearing apparel from citizenpriest.com. Visit citizenpriest.com today.
Hello, my name is James Renahan, and I'm the president of IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. The Word of God says, if a man desires the office of an overseer, he desires a good thing. Do you have the desire to serve Jesus Christ in pastoral ministry? 20 years ago, the Institute of Reformed Baptist Studies at Westminster Seminary, California was born. For those two decades, these institutions worked together to train men for ministry in Reformed Baptist churches. It has been a wonderful partnership. Now we have advanced our school into an independent seminary offering a full program of courses leading to the Master of Divinity degree. This is IRBS Theological Seminary. We believe that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the inspired and inerrant Word of God, that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh who came to save sinners by His life, death, and resurrection, and that the task of the church is to honor and serve the triune God in all things. IRBS Theological Seminary is dedicated by God's grace to preparing godly ministers who will be committed to these doctrines. Do you sense a call to serve Jesus Christ and His church as a pastor? Why not consider IRBS Theological Seminary? You'll find more information at irbsseminary.org. That's irbsseminary.org, two S's in the middle. I hope to hear from you soon. God bless you.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The New American Standard Bible is perfect for daily reading or in-depth study. Used by pastors, scholars, and everyday readers, the NASB is widely embraced and trusted as a literal and readable Bible translation. The NASB offers clarity and readability while maintaining high accuracy to the original languages, which the NASB is known for. The NASB is available in many editions like a topical reference Bible. Researched and prepared by biblical scholars devoted to accuracy, the new topical reference Bible includes contemporary topics relevant to today's issues. From compact to giant print Bibles, find an NASB that fits your needs very affordably at nasbible.com. Whichever edition you choose, trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com.
And please remember, folks, if the Bibles in the pews of the church where you worship are falling apart, they're filled with children's graffiti, or perhaps your congregation has outgrown the translation or the version that you've been using for years, and you want a perhaps more biblically, or should I say, a more linguistically faithful translation that is resembles more of what the original languages of the text had to say. Well, please, if you are not a decision maker yourself, please urge whoever is in decision making authority regarding Bibles in your church, whether it be your pastors, elders, deacons, or whoever that may be, urge them to consider prayerfully replacing all of the Bibles in your church with New American Standard Bibles. And also, if you've never had Bibles in your pews before, you've just relied upon people bringing their own Bibles to church, well, obviously keep in mind that if the members of your church are evangelizing appropriately, you're going to be having visitors to your worship services, some of whom are not Christians at all and may not own Bibles, and therefore they will have a Bible right there at their pew or under their chair, however you have your worship services, whatever kind of furniture is available during your worship services. Please go to nasbible.com, nasbible.com, and order new Bibles for your entire congregation, for your church building, from nasbible.com, the New American Standard Bible. They have been faithful sponsors of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio ever since we first launched in 2005, and I've also been faithful supporters and sponsors of every event that I have arranged or orchestrated since the early 1990s, including the debates featuring Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. They have been helping to fund financially these events. So please help me return the favor to them and say thank you to them by bringing them more business. If you prayerfully and seriously consider replacing your Bibles or buying Bibles for your church for the first time from nasbible.com. We're now back to our discussion with Ryan Denton and Scott Smith on A Certain Sound, a primer on open-air preaching. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com if you have a question of your own. And if you could, Ryan, and you can even follow up if you'd like, Scott, to remind our listeners why you titled this book on open-air preaching A Certain Sound, which is a title that I, as I said the last time, I really love that title.
Yeah, Scott, why don't you go ahead and answer that?
Well, you know, unless the trumpet plays with a certain sound, how will we know we're being marshaled for battle? That's kind of the context, at least the initial context of that verse. And, you know, if you don't have a clear gospel message that exalts the saving office of Christ, in other words, if you leave in the minds of men that they can either A, save themselves, or B, somehow participate, or C, you know, make a decision or walk an aisle, or just any syncretistic form, then you've stripped Christ of his glory, you've put man in the driver's seat, and you're not blowing a Bible sound, that's for sure. And so the certain sound that I felt, and I know Ryan agreed, we wanted to make sure that we were saying that Christ is a great Savior. He could save any sinner, and our response needs to be to call on him. That's the sound we wanted people to hear, that he's mighty to save, and he saves sinners. And, you know, people's response is to come under his lordship and cry out to him. So anything less than that is a muddled sound. It's a inaccurate sound. People don't know if they're being called to a battle. They don't know if they're being called to a festival. They don't know if they're being called to go stand out in the wind somewhere. So, you know, we just felt a good, clear, reformed understanding leads to a good, clear gospel presentation that puts Christ on his throne. And man is humbled under the greatness of this Christ. And that's the sound they need to hear.
Praise God.
And Chris, you know, you mentioned the do's and don'ts. I would say the main do when it comes to open-air preaching is preach Christ. You know, preach the sound that exalts Christ. So much of the stuff out there that passes for open-air preaching, it's not a proclamation of Christ or the gospel. It's almost everything else except Christ, so you can get a crowd and you get people to come, and then you preach Christ. But that would be, you know, kind of what Scott is saying. That's an uncertain sound. That's not what we're called to do. And so first thing is, you know, first and foremost, preach Christ.
Well, going into some of the don'ts and do's in that order, why don't you let our listeners know some of the things that if they themselves want to participate in open-air preaching, perhaps pastors are listening and they want to start to orchestrate open-air evangelism for faithful members of the church, faithful men in the congregation who believe they have a call upon their life to go out into the public and to participate in open-air preaching. Give us, first of all, some of the things that they should totally void that they may not even be thinking of before partaking in such an endeavor. And things that perhaps are routinely done by open-air preachers that are big no-nos, if you will, that are not a blessing to the proclamation of the gospel or an aid to it, but a deficit or something that even eclipses the gospel message itself.
Ryan, you want to go first?
Yeah, I think there's quite a few things that come to mind. You know, I would say first of all the location is probably the most important, and I think it is different too. If you're talking about a church doing it, a church is going to want to find a place probably near where they are as far as their location goes, and so you know, as far as open air preaching goes, you want to find out where there is a lot of foot traffic, where you can actually preach. And people ideally would be in a situation where they're kind of loitering around, they're milling about. That's one of the great things about a college campus. You have a lot of students with downtime. They're walking around. But you know, as far as the church goes, you know, which is a great thing to do. That would be great if more churches got involved in open air preaching. But just finding the spot where you can go and actually preach, and also I think a lot of times what I notice I'd be interested to see what Scott says. I'm sure he'd agree. But what I notice is a lot of times churches can be there's a procrastinating spirit as far as just trying to really train guys to go and open air preach, which is great. But what happens is sometimes the training takes so long that they don't actually ever go out and do it. And I think when it comes to open air preaching, if you get a guy who's a mature Christian, he knows his Bible, he has a desire to go and preach, I think the best thing in that situation is just to let him loose and go preach and kind of learn in the fire. And so, yeah, I think that's the best way to do it, is just go and do it. Now, that's not to say you can just wing it, but it is to say, I mean, you can, as far as preparing to open air preach, you could do that your entire life and actually never go and do it. Because that is the hard thing, I think, when it comes to open air preaching, is just going out and just doing it.
Now, you mentioned the location as the people who sell real estate say, location, location, location. What is commonly done wrong in regard to location? Because could there not be a location chosen by a person or group that is going to do open air preaching that is not only a bad location because hardly anybody shows up there, but could there not be a very crowded area that is still somewhat improper for that kind of a venue for open air preaching, because you're only going to be getting people upset. You're going to now you could be getting people upset wherever you preach. I understand that, but you might be unnecessarily invoking anger from people in certain venues. I'll give you an example. At a cemetery, isn't that like a very improper place? Now, the only people that I know that do that, unfortunately, are those crazy cultists in the God Hates Fags group from Westboro Baptist Church. There may be others that do it, but are there any other places that would be inappropriate locations for somebody to do open-air evangelism outside of a cemetery that still, you know, it might not be because of the number of people that are there, but there might be another reason why it'd be inappropriate?
Yeah, I can think of one real quick off the top of my head. That would be if people are paying to sit at a restaurant and they're sitting outside. So now they're a paying customer, and
right,
they're not there to hear preaching. They're there to have a meal, and now you take it upon yourself, you're going to start preaching to them. Well, you're going to get not only the customer upset, you're going to get the owner upset. He's going to call the cops on you. So that's not just showing a little bit of common sense. You're better off getting in a place where people can get away from you if they want to. They don't have to listen to you for more than, you know, 10 seconds at a streetlight if they don't want to hear you. But once you've come into a situation where, you know, you got a paying customer, and he wants to sit there in peace and talk to his wife, and now he's got you blasting him, I mean, that to me would be common sense, but I've met guys that do it with no thought about how that really is just not even reasonable.
Yeah, you just brought up an excellent point, the ability for those hearing you to easily walk away and leave where they're not held prisoner, not literally, but because of the fact that they've paid a lot of money to be sitting somewhere. And obviously you don't want to be interrupting something else that's going on, like an open-air theater or something. You don't want to be interrupting that. Another thing just popped into my head this very second that some have done that I do not agree with is to intrude upon the worship services of those in other religions, or perhaps even other professing Christians who happen to disagree with you theologically. I think that that's also inappropriate, to be there screaming, perhaps even through the doors of a church or a temple or a mosque or what have you, during a worship service. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, I would agree.
Right. Yeah. No, I agree also.
Now, that's not to say that I don't.
Charity.
I'm sorry?
You're not showing any charity. You're not showing any charity to anybody else. Do unto others as you'd have them do to you. Do you really want the Muslims to come to the front of your church and, do their call to worship over a microphone? So there needs to be just a little bit of common sense, a little bit of charity, a little bit of just understanding just the basics to human interaction and what it would be charitable. And, you know, what's nice about a college campus, you get in a free speech area. People know it's a free speech area. If they don't want to hear free speech, they can do a dodge. Once they come in the free speech area, they really can't complain because they've entered it, they can leave it. But when you get in situations where the people can't move, like I've preached on buses before, the people can't move, and I've had people object, but what I say to the objection is, ma'am, I'm only going to speak for 30 seconds. Would that be okay with you? And usually if you tell them it's a short time, almost all of them will say, sure, yeah, 30 seconds is fine. So, you know, they don't want to listen for 20 minutes, but almost anyone will grant you 60 seconds if you're polite and you smile at them and you say, is that okay with you? Do you mind? And even if they mind, they don't mind that much. So just a little bit of common sense goes a long way in these sort of things.
And also, you know, you want to make sure that where you're preaching is public property.
Right.
That's might be common sense, but it does come up a lot. You know, some of the best places, ideally or hypothetically, to preach would are places that are private property. And so when you go there, you know, you want to make sure that it's public property.
Right.
That's a great point.
And to clarify something that I said about a church or temple or mosque or a building that is occupied by another religion, I don't want to go overboard in what I said either. I was specifically talking about a worship service, but I know that my dear friend of many years, Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, used to routinely go to major Mormon events, and he would not be on the property, I don't believe, but nearby where people were either coming or going. In other words, you wouldn't be able to hear him evangelizing from inside the building, but when people were milling around on the very outskirts of the property, they could hear the evangelism that Dr. White was involved in towards Mormons. And the only reason I know that he discontinued doing that is that he was surrounded by morons professing to be Christians who were maverick King James only type folks who were screaming all kinds of horrible things to the Mormons and burning effigies of Joseph Smith and mocking them with juvenile, ad hominem remarks rather than showing that they truly loved these Mormons and wanted them to discover the true Jesus Christ of the true scriptures. But so in that regard, would you say that a building or establishment or facility of members of another religion would not be off base as long as you were abiding by the law and being respectful and not interrupting an actual worship service?
Yeah, it just goes back to, that's just prudent. If you have, you know, as people who want to evangelize, you want to go to where there are lost people, and that is, I think, in a sense, goes without saying that outside one of those places, you'll have that particular group of unbelievers who will be gathered there. And I think too, though, it's just, and I've seen videos of what you're talking about with James White out in Salt Lake City, and you know, the thing that comes across my mind when you watch those guys preach, and it's the same thing a lot of, when you're watching a lot of these guys preach out there, it's pretty easy to tell whether or not the person is, you know, genuinely concerned about the person's salvation, genuinely concerned about preaching Christ. And they weren't, you know, when you watch those videos and you see the shock and awe guys and the Pelagians and sinless perfectionists, there's so little of Christ that's being preached, and when it, you know, not only that, but whenever they are preaching, there's no pleading in their soul or pleading in their tone or voices. There's no genuine concern for the lost, and I think that really does come across as something that you don't want to do when you're open air preaching.
In fact, the contrast of the different behaviors is even reflected in the movie Unplanned. I just saw that a couple of days ago about a top executive at Planned Parenthood who became pro-life and resigned from her post there. And they were honest enough in the movie to show people who were behaving like idiots outside the abortion clinic, who were just purely nasty and had nothing to offer other than nastiness, while there were other people, pro-life people there, that were being much demonstrating much more compassion and the love of Christ and so on. But we have to go to a break right now. It's our midway break, and keep in mind this is the longer than normal break, so please be patient with us, because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle, because they localize Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to Lake City, Florida, with their own commercials and public service announcements, while we air our commercials that are heard globally. So take this time to write down the information provided by our advertisers so that you can more frequently patronize them and more successfully patronize them, because the more you do that, the more likely we will remain on the air, because if our advertisers are getting results, they'll probably stick around, and that means that we'll be able to stick around because we require their advertising dollars to exist. So write down the information provided by our advertisers, and also write down questions for our guests, Ryan Denton and Scott Smith, on Open Air Preaching. And our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this station break with more of Ryan Denton and Scott Smith on Open Air Preaching. One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
Hi, I'm Stefan Lindblad, Assistant Professor of Systematic Theology at IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. I accepted this call to teach at the seminary because I'm firmly convinced that the people of God in the churches of our Lord Jesus Christ need to be firmly grounded in the truth of Holy Scripture. I'm excited to be teaching such subjects as the nature of theology and the doctrine of Scripture, and even the doctrine of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Our churches and our people need to be well grounded in these truths. Indeed, future ministers of the gospel need to understand these truths in order to proclaim them to all of God's people. If you want to learn more about our program, visit us online at irbsseminary.org.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more. and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Tired of box store Christianity, of doing church in a warehouse with all the trappings of a rock concert? Do you long for a more traditional and reverent style of worship? And how about the preaching? Perhaps you've begun to think that in-depth biblical exposition has vanished from Long Island. Well, there's good news. Wading River Baptist Church exists to provide believers with a meaningful and reverent worship experience, featuring the systematic exposition of God's Word. And this loving congregation looks forward to meeting you. Call them at 631-929-3512 for service times. 631-929-3512. Or check out their website at wrbc.us. That's wrbc.us.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The New American Standard Bible is perfect for daily reading or in-depth study. Used by pastors, scholars, and everyday readers, the NASB is widely embraced and trusted as a literal and readable Bible translation. The NASB offers clarity and readability while maintaining high accuracy to the original languages, which the NASB is known for. The NASB is available in many editions like a topical reference Bible. Researched and prepared by biblical scholars devoted to accuracy, the new topical reference Bible includes contemporary topics relevant to today's issues. From compact to giant print Bibles, find an NASB that fits your needs very affordably at nasbible.com. Whichever edition you choose, trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is sponsored by Harvey Cedars, a year-round Bible conference and retreat center nestled on the Jersey Shore. Harvey Cedars offers a wide range of accommodations to suit groups up to 400. For generations, Christians have enjoyed gathering and growing at Harvey Cedars. Each year, thousands of high school and college students come and learn more about God's Word. An additional 9,000 come annually to Harvey Cedars as families, couples, singles, men, women, pastors, seniors, and missionaries. 90 miles from New York City, 70 miles from Philly, and 95 miles from Wilmington, and easily accessible, scores of notable Christian groups frequently plan conferences at Harvey Cedars, like the Navigators, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, Campus Crusade, and the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. Find Harvey Cedars on Facebook or at hcbible.org, hcbible.org. Call 609-494-5689, 609-494-5689. Harvey Cedars, where Christ finds people and changes lives.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
Did you know that all believers are priests? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Apostle Peter describes Christ's church as comprising a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So if you're a Christian, you're also a priest. Now you can find the newest styles in Reformed and Protestant apparel at CitizenPriest.com. CitizenPriest.com specializes in Christian-themed t-shirts and clothing especially for Reformed Christians. CitizenPriest.com's merchandise is purposefully scripture-based and meant for the edification of the saints and the furtherance of the gospel. Let everyone know that you stand firm on the doctrines of the Reformed faith by wearing apparel from CitizenPriest.com. Visit CitizenPriest.com today.
Thrivent Financial is not your typical financial services provider. As a membership organization, we help Christians be wise with money and live generously every day. And for the fourth year in a row, we were named one of the world's most ethical companies by the Ethisphere Institute, a leading international think tank dedicated to the creation, advancement, and sharing of best practices in business ethics. Contact me, Mike Gallagher, financial consultant, at 717-254-6433. Again, 717-254-6433 to learn more about the Thrivent Difference.
We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life.
Lending faith, finances, and generosity. That's the Thrivent story.
Just serve.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church, NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, host of A Visit to the Pastor's Study, and I am so thankful to be part of the advertising family right here on Iron Sharpens Iron. If you live on Long Island, or if you're visiting the metropolitan New York area, I invite you to join us for worship at The Haven on Sundays at 4:30 p.m. We meet at the Ascension Lutheran Church facility, 33 Bayshore Road in Deer Park, New York. At The Haven, you'll find God-saturated singing, gospel-rich ministry, and great commission opportunities. Learn more about us at thehavenli.com and join us this Sunday at 4:30 p.m., 33 Bayshore Road, Deer Park, New York.
And I would urge you, folks, since this Sunday, April 7th, is the inaugural worship service, the very first worship service of The Haven in Deer Park, Long Island, I would urge you that even if you are already a member of a church and you live in the New York tri-state area, especially on Long Island, New York, that you take a trip out on Sunday afternoon, this Sunday, April 7th, at 4:30 p.m., so that you could at least encourage Bill Shishko on this new work. You don't have to leave your church and join his. I'm not recommending that somebody do that unless they are in a bad church. But I would urge you to at least give some encouragement on this very first worship service that The Haven is conducting this Sunday, April 7th at 4:30 p.m. And please, if you do that, tell Pastor Bill Shishko that you heard about The Haven from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And once again, their website is thehavenli, which stands for Long Island, .com, thehavenli.com. Before we return to our guests, Ryan Denton and Scott Smith, on our subject today, which is part two of A Certain Sound, a primer on open-air preaching, which is a subject we began last month, I want to just let you know about some upcoming special events that I hope that you attend. First of all, in just a couple of weeks, the conference known as DORT 400 is going to be taking place in Michigan. And we thank the folks who organized this conference, which is being held at the Trinity Protestant Reformed Church in Hudsonville, Michigan. We thank them for the advertising they purchased to promote this event. It's a 3-day event on April 25th, 26th, and 27th. That's Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And it's commemorating the anniversary, the 400th anniversary of the Canons of Dort. If you want to find out more about the Canons of Dort, go to ironsharpensironradio.com and click on Past Shows Podcasts. And if you type in the search engine, Canons of Dort, and that's spelt with one N, by the way. That's C-A-N-O-N-S of Dort, which is D-O-R-D-T. You will hear past interviews that we've done on the Canons of Dort. But I am looking forward to hearing about many of you giving praise reports after having attended this conference. And as I said, it's being held at the Trinity Protestant Reformed Church in Hudsonville, Michigan. And if you want more details on this conference, go to either trinityprc.org, trinityprc, which stands for Protestant Reformed Church.org, or you could go to the main website for the conference, which is dort400.org, D as in David, O-R, D as in David, T as in Thomas, 400.org. And this will be well worth your while, especially if you live in Michigan and it's easy to get to. But otherwise, if this is a fascinating subject to you, and it should be, and you're free to take a plane, train, or automobile to get there to this conference this April 25th through the 27th, that's Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, just a couple of weeks away, that's dort400.org, dort400.org. Then coming up after the Dort 400 conference, we have my Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon. This is a free event. I've been conducting this event since the 1990s when my precious late wife Julie had the brainchild of using our Christmas money rather than spending it on gifts for each other. We began to treat my friends who are pastors to a Christmas lunch every year. And the size of the gathering grew and grew and grew until we finally needed financial assistance to take care of this. We were originally taking it out of our own pocket, and we got corporate sponsorship for it. And now it's grown to not only one luncheon a year, but to two. We usually have one in the winter and one in the spring now. And obviously the location has changed. I moved from New York to Pennsylvania to have these events. Dr. Tony Costa, the professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary, is once again our speaker at the Free Pastors Luncheon. He is going to be speaking on how the Dead Sea Scrolls vindicate the reliability of the Holy Scriptures. This is for men only, and it's for pastors, elders, deacons, and leaders of parachurch organizations. And as I said, it's for men only, and everything is free, not only the admission and the food, but you're also going to be walking home if you attend. You're going to be you're going to be going home with a heavy sack of free brand new books that I've personally selected from nearly every major Christian publisher in the United States and the United Kingdom, who have been donating free books to us for this event every year for a very long time. So you're going to be leaving with hundreds of dollars worth of free books just because you've attended. So you'll be getting a free meal, a free message from Dr. Tony Costa, free books, free fun and fellowship. What more could you ask for? And there will be no ulterior motive. There's no Amway salesman presentation going to take place. This is purely for the edification and the fun and the relaxation and refreshment of pastors, which was what my late wife, Julie, designed this to be totally for the enrichment and the pleasure of the pastors in attendance. So if you would like to attend on Thursday, May 23rd, at the Carlisle Fire and Rescue Banquet Hall, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and I'll put you on the registration list. Dr. Costa is also right from Carlisle, Pennsylvania. He's going to be heading out with me to Long Island, New York, and he's going to be preaching at several different churches, including New Hyde Park Baptist Church in western Nassau County and Hope Reformed Baptist Church in central Suffolk County, that's in Coram, Long Island. And there may be a couple of other churches, and I'll give you updates on exactly where he'll be speaking on Long Island. So if you want more information on that as well, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. Then coming up in later in May, in fact, the very next week, we have the East Coast Ministers Conference of the Banner of Truth. That's going to be held May 28th through the 30th, and that's going to be held at the Elizabethtown College in Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania. That's Tuesday, May 28th through Thursday, May 30th. And this is going to be a phenomenal event, I'm sure. Jeff Kingswood is going to be one of the speakers. He's also going to be my guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on Tuesday, the 23rd of April. You might want to mark that down. We have Terry Johnson, who is also going to be a guest in the God willing, the near future on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. In fact, Monday, the 6th of May, Terry will be on the program. David Vaughan, who's a Reformed Baptist missionary in France. Stephen J. Nichols, who is the president of Reformation Bible College, the college founded by the late R.C. Sproul and Ligonier Ministries. Michael Morales and Chad Vegas. And Chad is also going to be a guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on Monday, the 8th of April. That's this coming Monday. So if you would like to attend this conference, the East Coast Ministers Conference of the Banner of Truth, on the theme, I Believe in the Holy Spirit, from May 28th through the 30th in Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania, go to banneroftruth.org, banneroftruth.org, click on events, and then scroll down to East Coast Ministers Conference. And there are other conferences in other parts of the United States and the United Kingdom that they also have listed there. So if you live closer to one of the other conferences, click on one of those and find out more details on that. But I hope to see many of you at the East Coast Ministers Conference at Elizabethtown College in Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania, May 28th through the 30th. That's the Banner of Truth East Coast Ministers Conference. Go to banneroftruth.org, banneroftruth.org, and click on events. Then, after that, coming up in December, the 19th and the 20th, I will be, God willing, attending the Foundations Conference in Manhattan, a conference of sermonaudio.com. Speakers include include Dr. Stephen J. Lawson, who you just heard earlier, advertising New Covenant Church NYC in Manhattan, one of our advertisers. Dr. Lawson is the founder of One Passion Ministries, and he's also a phenomenal preacher. Another really extraordinary preacher is Paul Washer. He is on the roster. Reverend Jeff Thomas, another extraordinary preacher that I've heard a number of times, going all the way back to the 1980s when I first got saved. Reverend Jeff Thomas, who's a retired pastor in Wales, now an itinerant preacher traveling the globe spreading the gospel. Reverend Armin Tomasian, who is one of my favorite preacher, and he is an absolutely extraordinary young man with gifts and abilities and wisdom far beyond his youth. He's a young pastor, but I think in the next 10 years he's going to be globally known as a household name amongst Reformed Christians. He is that powerful a preacher. And then Richard Caldwell Jr. is also on the roster, and Andrew Quigley. I have not yet heard either of those brothers, but I'm looking forward to hearing them at the Foundations Conference, December 19th and the 20th in Manhattan. If you want to register, do so quickly, because they only can hold 200 people in this small venue in the heart of New York City. So go to thefoundationsconference.com. Make sure you put the in there, because you'll get a wrong website. thefoundationsconference.com. And you'll have all the information that you need to register. Please tell them that you heard about this event from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Last but not least, if you love this show, you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now, and donate instantly with a debit or credit card. If you prefer snail mail, there will be an address that appears on your screen where you can mail a check made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We are in urgent need for your donations. We have very large bills that need to be paid soon. We are already late, unfortunately, with a couple of them. We need your help. Please, if you love the show and you don't want it to disappear, go to ironsharpensironradio.com and click support, then click to donate now. If you would like to advertise with us, send us an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. And keep in mind, I never want anybody siphoning money away from their regular giving that they're accustomed to their local church, and I never want anybody putting their families in financial jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Please, those two things are first and foremost because they're commands of God, providing for church and home. So only donate to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio if you love the show and you're financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands of Scripture to provide for church and home. And please, if you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church and you're not prayerfully looking for one, you're living in rebellion against God. If you need help finding a good church, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church home" or something similar in the subject line. I have helped a number of people around the world find churches near them, whether it's a church they need to join to become a regular part of that local body, or if they're going on vacation somewhere, or if they have a loved one in some other part of the world. I have found a number of churches for those kinds of folks, so, and I can help you too. Just send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. That's also the email address where you could send an email with a question for our guests today, Ryan Denton and Scott Smith, on our discussion on a primer on open-air preaching. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And we do have a listener. Let's see here. We have Robert in Westchester County, New York. And Robert says, "Do you not think that the manner with which open-air preaching is done, regard to the tone of voice and so on, is very important? I'm not saying that I think that open-air preachers shouldn't raise their voices. In fact, they may need to if they don't have any kind of sound equipment in order to project their voices in the open air to the crowds that may be gathered there. But I'm talking about those that have nothing with the appearance of a hateful screamer with veins popping out of their necks and yelling at people as if they are scolding people, not compassionately warning them that they need to repent and follow Christ to avoid the certain damnation to come for those who do not bow the knee to Christ. I think that there is a difference between raising your voice and including yourself as a sinner that was saved by grace through faith, rather than scolding those walking by and focusing on their sins as if you are not a sinner yourself." Either one of you want to start with that?
Yeah,
go ahead, Ryan.
Well, you know, I think it goes back to kind of what we're saying. There needs, you know, I should preface this by saying, you know, you can be a gentle, respectful, Christ-exalting preacher and still be hated by the world. And so a lot of times, and I'm not saying that doesn't sound like the person who wrote that saying that. In fact, I think they make a lot of good points. But I think sometimes that is some of the things that you see. So in other words, we look at how the crowd or the people respond to the open-air preaching, and sometimes there's just an outright dismissal of open-air preaching because, oh, you know, the people hearing didn't like the message or they didn't respond well to the message. That being said, yeah, I think it's very almost it's natural to be able to tell whether or not somebody has a genuine concern or love for the person they're preaching to or not. And I think that's one of the reasons why when it comes to open-air preaching, the most important aspect of open-air preaching, I would say, is having a sincere walk with the Lord, a sense in which you're regularly communing with God, communing with the Holy Spirit, letting God tenderize your heart so that you don't go out and preach in a calloused, harsh manner. And I think I think it's hard for all of us, I know for myself included, you know, there are times when I'll catch myself and think, wow, you know, I'm in a certain scenario, I was in the flesh here. But it is something I think that every open-air preacher is, you know, the guys who are sincere about it and really trying to do their best to exalt Christ, I think they are really trying, despite the mistakes that we all make, we are trying to, you know, sincerely go out with a love for Christ and a love for the people we're preaching to and trying to let that kind of exude out of what we're saying. So it's a good question, though.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, obviously we are excited about Jesus Christ. We're excited about what he's done to rescue a people for himself. And so you, it isn't just something that you want to speak in a milquetoast, you know, dispassionate way. And somewhere in there you got to find that fine line, and it may be based on your own abilities to use your, you know, your I'm not sure exactly, your wind box maybe be the right word, or your diaphragm, but to be able to preach in such a way that you can get it out loud enough, but it's clear you're not stressed, the veins aren't popping out of your head, your face is not red, so that somebody doesn't walk by and say, wow, is that guy angry? And if you've got the kind of face, the kind of physiognomy that just gets lit up, you know, when you lift your voice a little bit, you're going to have to probably get on a microphone. But there are some guys who can preach. I think George Whitfield was one of them who could preach to 25,000 auditors, and I don't think he really looked like he was going to pop a vein. So some of it is just kind of understanding what you look like in the open air. And there are some people that have been born, they just have kind of an angry-looking face. They may not be angry. They may be sweet as pie, but they have an angry-looking face. And a lot of times, you know, when I'm with a guy like that, I have to say, hey, you're going to have to really try hard to smile, not be silly, but smile. Because the people who look at you, yeah, the people who look at you are going to play off of what you're giving them. And if you're giving them a face that looks angry, they're going to think you are angry. And so you at least have to say, you know, folks, I love you. I care about you. I it's out of love for Christ and love for you that I say these things with some passion. And people can relate to passion. I think Ryan's dead on. They know the difference between passion and anger. And if you're angry, you wanted to talk about the do's and the don'ts. I would say the first don't is don't go preach if you're angry. Because, you know, who are we? We're sinners saved by grace. We serve a great Savior. We're thrilled to be on our way to heaven. We don't have anything to be angry about. We've got something to be excited about. We're filled with joy. And we've got a great message. And so if you really haven't gotten past your own issues, I don't think you should be out there, you know, just lambasting people. And that may have been what your listener or what your caller has seen in the past.
Well, thank you, Robert. You have won a free copy of the book that we are addressing today, A Certain Sound, A Primer on Open-Air Preaching, thanks to the generosity of our friends at Reformation Heritage Books, and also thanks to our friends at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com, who will be shipping that out to you at no charge to you or to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Let's see here. We have someone who doesn't write in often, but I want to give this brother a public commendation for his generosity. Grady in Asheboro, North Carolina, doesn't write in often to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I don't believe I've ever met Grady, but Grady has been giving nearly every month, if not every single month, to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I just wanted to thank you, Grady. I don't know if I've ever done that publicly on the air before, but thank you so much for considering Iron Sharpens Iron Radio worthy of your donations. It means more than you will ever know. But Grady in Asheboro, North Carolina says, how do you deal with hecklers or confrontational people without drawing away from the message?
Yes.
Well, sometimes that heckler is there because the Lord's allowed him. And you know, one good heckler who asks some good questions can bring a crowd, you know, it could grow your crowd from 5 to 50 to 500, depending on how good a heckler they are. And so sometimes, you know, it's worth pausing to let them do what it is they came up to do. You can't preach over them anyway, depending on who it is. And so sometimes you have to look at the situation. You have to analyze, is this a heckler God's allowed? They're not swearing. They're not, you know, blaspheming God's name, but they're screaming out about something, and it's bringing people around. And you're going to be able to answer them gently and win favor with the crowd because you took this abuse from the heckler. So, you know, you don't want to always look at a heckler as a bad thing. Most of the time it's a good thing. The only thing is you can't let them go off hour after hour after hour. At some point you have to say, no, sir, that's a very good question. I commend you. What a sign of intelligence. Now let me answer that question and then go right to the gospel. You know, how that solves exactly what it is that he brought up. And so, you know, and you gain experience with this. You know, at first a heckler can throw you off, but over time you can figure out, is this going to be a rabbit trailer, or does this guy have a sincere question, or is this just God allowing, you know, the crowd to grow because people want to see how the preacher's going to react? So there's a little bit of wisdom that comes from being in the saddle over the years, but normally, overall, in general, I'd say hecklers are a good thing.
So you shouldn't unleash the pit bull on the heckler then?
Absolutely not. Kill him with time. You know, and that's,
Hey, that's a good point though. If you have a team of guys and you have one guy preaching and a heckler comes up, one of the things you don't want to do is try to get the heckler away from the preacher. In other words, let the guy who's preaching interact with the heckler. As Scott is saying, that can bring a situation where you're able to preach the gospel to more people.
And not by insulting the heckler. I'm assuming not by insulting the heckler like a stand-up comic might do.
No. It's more the heckler will probably be insulting the preacher, but it's more of a situation where you can take what he's saying and turn it into a gospel proclamation.
By the way, Grady,
something you don't want to get involved.
Grady, thanks for the great question, excellent question, and we have your address, so you are going to be getting a free copy of A Certain Sound, a primer on open-air preaching, published by our friends at Reformation Heritage Books, and shipped out to you by our friends at cvbbs.com, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. We have another listener. We have Harrison in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. And Harrison said, you said earlier that you should be putting a smile on your face when you're doing an open-air preaching. But one thing that irritates me about Joel Osteen is that smile never disappears from his face. I don't think that somebody could preach the whole counsel of God while having a smile permanently plastered on their face. I have actually said that exact same thing on this show. That's a good point. So I'm assuming you don't mean that.
No, let me respond to that since I'm the one who said it. I said if a guy has a grouchy physiognomy by nature, there's some guys just scowling all the time, then often you'll have to say to that fellow, look, you know, smile at the crowd every once in a while and tell them you care about it, because otherwise you look bad and you don't want to look angry at the crowd. But no, I totally agree with the gist of what that listener has said, which is when you can smile and show affection and say some very difficult things. You can talk about hell, and without being silly, you can say it in such a way that they know you want them to respond to this message and you have affection for them. But I'm not talking about some syrupy, silly sweetness like, you know, Joel Osteen does. But some guys just have hard faces, and they've got to think about softening it, because people look at it and think the preacher's angry when they see the hard face.
You know, I have been told, this might surprise some of our listeners, because I laugh a lot, even on this show, sometimes to the great annoyance of people who say that I hurt their eardrums when I laugh on the show. But I have been told that I have an angry-looking face, and I guess that's something that I need to work on. I'm not talking about when I'm evangelizing, but even when I'm just sitting in a restaurant contemplating something, which is probably why, for some strange reason, little children are terrified of me. I can't understand why. But I've been told that I have an...
Chris, what I hear you saying is you have a face made for radio.
Exactly. And let's see here. We have, I believe, a first-time questioner on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio's audience. Let's see here. We have Tim from El Paso, Texas. I think Tim is a first-time questioner. And Tim says, how do you maintain your zeal in preaching?
Well,
I'm sorry, the email came in and cut part of Tim's question off.
Okay.
He says, how do you maintain your zeal in preaching the gospel day after day? That's the full question.
Yeah, okay. It's a great question. I think on the last show we were talking about how open-air preaching is a calling. I think to a certain extent that's part of the call, it's not to say that we always have zeal, but I don't know about Scott, but it does seem like if there's a situation where you have a lot of people and you know you have access to them to be able to preach, I don't know about Scott, I'm sure he could say the same thing, but there is something that makes me tingle and makes me want to just go and preach. And it's hard whenever I don't go out personally and knowing that there's students especially or people wandering about, and there's it's a beautiful day and you can go and preach. But I I think it's just kind of like all of us as Christians, you know. How do you maintain zeal if you're working day in and day out? You know, how do you maintain this desire to share Christ with the lost that you encounter? I'm sure it's the same thing. It's just a daily walk with the Lord, you know, a sincere commitment to reading His Word and being with Him in prayer and hearing the Word preached and being around other believers when you can. And I think a lot of that just kind of carries over. Your love for Christ just kind of goes into that situation. Now, I think for me also, some days, you know, you don't want to go out. Some days you don't want to share the gospel. And I think that's where it's good to remember that it's a commandment that Christ gives us, that we are called to evangelize. We're called to share the gospel, especially as open air preachers. You know, it's a calling that God has given us, and we need to be faithful in that, even when we don't feel like it.
And sometimes you have to take a little time away, you know, crawl off for a couple of days in the woods in a tent and just get along with the Lord, or recognize that you may need a little break. But what I do is I will go for like a week or two and go to college campuses and preach every day, and then I'll take a week off and I will just spend time with my wife and kind of just get in the Word, just, you know, move myself out of that sort of frontline battle just to kind of recharge and rest in the Lord. And then I really get looking forward to, you know, that next set of 2 weeks on campus. So it's not like I go every single day, you know, never stopping. I don't even think Jesus did that. He would take time away to pray and, you know, get out on the boat, take a nap in the boat. So the zeal is more in the moment after you've been in prayer with the Lord and waited on Him and been in His Word. Then the zeal is the desire to exalt Him. But, you know, in our day-to-day life, we also have things that distract us like everybody else. You got to, you know, your wife wants to talk to you. You got to go fix the car. It's not like every moment, you know, you're just totally zealous to share the gospel. I mean, you know, so for me, I have to set aside time where I just say, no, I'm there entirely to share the gospel, and I'm not going to let myself get distracted. And that helps maintain the zeal when, you know, you've set the season of time apart for the Lord's glory, period.
By the way, Tim, I was wondering if out in the West Texas town of El Paso, you fell in love with a Mexican girl. Just that.
Well, you know, hey, Chris, I'm in El Paso, too, and I do know if you, I know it's one Tim anyways over here.
Maybe it's the same one. I don't know.
It might be my Tim. That's right. Maybe not, though. I mean, it's a big city, so.
And if anybody is scratching their head wondering what on earth I'm talking about, that happens to be my favorite Marty Robbins song out in the West Texas town of El Paso. But, Tim, if you give us your full mailing address, you will receive also a free copy of A Certain Sound, a primer on open-air preaching, and you'll also get a free New American Standard Bible because of the fact you're a first-time questioner. So please get us your full mailing address. And we have to go to our final break right now, and if anybody else wants to send in a question, do it quickly because we're rapidly running out of time. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And as always, please give us your first name, at least your city and state, and your country residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, host of A Visit to the Pastor's Study, and I am so thankful to be part of the advertising family right here on Iron Sharpens Iron. If you live on Long Island, or if you're visiting the metropolitan New York area, I invite you to join us for worship at The Haven on Sundays at 4:30 p.m. We meet at the Ascension Lutheran Church facility, 33 Bayshore Road in Deer Park, New York. At The Haven, you'll find God-saturated singing, gospel-rich ministry, and great commission opportunities. Learn more about us at thehavenli.com and join us this Sunday at 4:30 p.m., 33 Bayshore Road, Deer Park, New York.
I'm Dr. Gary Kimbrell, pastor of Bethlehem Baptist Church in Laurel, Mississippi. God tells us in James 1:27 that pure and undefiled religion is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. In the providence of God, 3 years ago, I discovered a poor small church outside Lusaka, Zambia, in a township called Kabanana, who are taking care of 24 orphans. I found them just at the time when they had lost all their funding. What was I to do? Could I just say, God bless you, and walk away? The situation of the children sat heavily upon me. As I was praying concerning this need, it came to me, I trust from the Lord, to tell the orphans' plight to a broader audience. The entire need for their clothing, food, education, and some medical services is $73 per month per child. If just 50 of us would give $35 a month, we could meet the need. Bethlehem Baptist Church will pay the fee to get the funds there, so if you give a dollar will get to the orphans. In this season of hope and giving, will you consider giving hope to 24 orphans? Please send your gift of any amount to Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443, or donate through our website, bbclaurel.com. Again, the address is Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443, or bbclaurel.com. Thank you.
Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Hi, I'm Mark Lukens, pastor of Providence Baptist Church. We are a Reformed Baptist church, and we hold to the London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689. We are in Norfolk, Massachusetts. We strive to reflect Paul's mindset to be much more concerned with how God views what we say and what we do than how men view these things. That's not the best recipe for popularity, but since that wasn't the apostles' priority, it must not be ours either. We believe, by God's grace, that we are called to demonstrate love and compassion to our fellow man and to be vessels of Christ's mercy to a lost and hurting community around us, and to build up the body of Christ in truth and love. If you live near Norfolk, Massachusetts, or plan to visit our area, please come and join us for worship and fellowship. You can call us at 508-528-5750. That's 508-528-5750. Or go to our website to email us, listen to past sermons, worship songs, or watch our TV program entitled Resting in Grace. You can find us at providencebaptistchurchma.org. That's providencebaptistchurchma.org. Or even on sermonaudio.com. Providence Baptist Church is delighted to sponsor Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to ptlbiblerebinding.com. That's ptlbiblerebinding.com.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church, NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Hello, my name is James Renahan, and I'm the president of IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. The Word of God says, if a man desires the office of an overseer, he desires a good thing. Do you have the desire to serve Jesus Christ in pastoral ministry? 20 years ago, the Institute of Reformed Baptist Studies at Westminster Seminary, California was born. For those two decades, these institutions worked together to train men for ministry in Reformed Baptist churches. It has been a wonderful partnership. Now we have advanced our school into an independent seminary offering a full program of courses leading to the Master of Divinity degree. This is IRBS Theological Seminary. We believe that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the inspired and inerrant Word of God, that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh who came to save sinners by his life, death, and resurrection, and that the task of the church is to honor and serve the triune God in all things. IRBS Theological Seminary is dedicated by God's grace to preparing godly ministers who will be committed to these doctrines. Do you sense a call to serve Jesus Christ and his church as a pastor? Why not consider IRBS Theological Seminary? You'll find more information at irbsseminary.org. That's irbsseminary.org, two S's in the middle. I hope to hear from you soon. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Billy Linhart of Sovereign Grace Particular Baptist Church of San Angelo, Texas, and I'm thrilled to have joined the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio family of sponsors. We fully subscribe to the Second London Baptist Confession of Faith as a faithful summary of the most vital biblical truths, desire to worship the triune God of the Holy Scriptures in spirit and truth, and seek to make his glory known in the Concho Valley, West Texas, and beyond. Sovereign Grace PBC of San Angelo purposes to center our worship on the Holy Scriptures and the gospel of Jesus Christ in the hope that he will grow us in love and the unity of truth. After Sunday services, join us for a fellowship meal, followed by our ladies' fellowship and our children's Sunday school class. If you're looking for a church in West Texas that's serious about the Word of God and worship that pleases Him, come visit us. For details about Sovereign Grace Particular Baptist Church of San Angelo, Texas, email sgbcsa@gmail.com or visit us at sgbcsa.com. That's sgbcsa.com.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Let's
Listening to Christian radio can be a big gamble spiritually. Even many of the major Christian networks that include excellent, biblically faithful teachers on their lineup sadly often also include the worst of doctrinally dangerous heretics. If you are a lover of the doctrines of sovereign grace, you need not fear listening 24 hours a day to firstloveradio.org. They feature Christ-centered programming from Reformed pastors and teachers you can rely upon for theological soundness and biblical faithfulness, such as Dr. W.R. Downing, Dr. Peter Masters, Pastor Joe Jackowitz, Pastor Robert Gifford, Al Martin, Edward Delcor, and more. FirstLoveRadio.org also live streams my Iron Sharpens Iron radio program daily. Please stick around on FirstLoveRadio.org after Iron Sharpens Iron radio is over to continue being blessed by the unwavering proclamation of the gospel of sovereign grace. Spread the word about FirstLoveRadio.org. Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen, and this is the last segment of our interview today with Ryan Denton and Scott Smith on Open Air Preaching, and we have an anonymous listener. And our anonymous listener says, I have a brother in Christ that goes out and street preaches, sometimes by himself and sometimes with other brothers. What advice can you give him that he should focus on when he is by himself? Thank you, Chris. Greatly blessed to be listening to you. Scott or Ryan?
Go ahead, Ryan. I would suggest having some kind of recording device. That's gotten me out of a few jams. That got us out of a jam last week, even though we had a lot of people there. I think in the day and age we live in, I know for me, now I know a lot of guys that don't go out with any kind of recording device, but for me, I always take mine out, and a lot of times I preach alone. So I would say that.
You know, Jesus sent them out two by two, so I think I would fall on the side of, you know, encouraging to always have a partner with you, even if their job is simply to stand there, pray for you, smile at you occasionally, and, you know, film in case there is trouble. But you know, some guys don't have anybody, and like Ryan, he does go out by himself, and I have gone out by myself. I don't like it. I probably wouldn't recommend it, but it is what it is. And at that point, you just have to trust that the Lord has your back, but in general, I think it's good to go with a partner, for especially in the world we live in, where people will lie, just lie about you, and if you don't have someone filming it, you're really almost a sitting duck.
Well, thank you, Anonymous. If you give me your full name and mailing address off the air, of course, we will send you a free copy of the book that we have been addressing today, A Certain Sound, a Primer on Open Air Preaching. Thank you so much for contributing to our conversation. And by the way, Tim in El Paso, Texas, confirmed that he did fall in love with a Mexican girl. Thank you for letting us know that, Tim. I want you two to have 2 minutes now to just summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners about this topic. I guess, Ryan, we'll start with you for a minute, and then we'll conclude with Scott for a minute.
Well, I just think for me the most important thing is, even with the book itself and especially open air preaching, is just the importance of a correct theology. I think Reformed open air preaching is really the only kind of preaching that should be done. I think any other kind of preaching leads to really false conversions and man-centered gimmicks, pragmatism, things that have really been detrimental to the church over the last, 200 years now, ever since these things first came on the scene. So just the importance of having a robust Reformed theology for open-air preaching and evangelism in general. I would say that's definitely the most important thing.
And Scott?
Well, I would agree with Ryan, and so instead of seconding that, I'll just say, you know, there is an internal call and an external call, and if you think you have the internal call to preach, that's a very personal call from the Lord, but, you know, others will be able to it. There should be some confirmation either by the church or it might not be by the church, but it could be and hopefully would be, but certainly other preachers. I mean, like when Ryan started a number of years ago, I immediately knew he was called to do it, and so most of the experienced guys in the country immediately saw it too. And so, you know, the danger is to be a renegade, the danger is to be a nomad, the danger is to try to go it all on your own and saying the Lord's called you. But if he's called you, others will recognize the gift too. We don't need people that aren't stable, and there are some that get out there that are not stable. So that would be my one caveat, in addition to obviously the theological implication for the guy that is stable.
Well, I have had such a great time interviewing both of you two times now. I look forward to interviewing you many more times in the future, as many times as God will allow. And I want to make sure that our listeners have your contact information. First of all, Christ in the Wild Ministries can be found at christinthewild.com, christinthewild.com. The publishers of the book that we have been addressing, A Certain Sound, A Primer on Open-Air Preaching, that can be found at heritagebooks.org, heritagebooks.org, and put into the search engine A Certain Sound, and you'll find that. I would urge you also to please order the book through Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, since they are a sponsor of our show, and that is cvbbs.com, CV for Cumberland Valley, BBS for BibleBookService.com. I want to thank everybody who listened. I want to thank my guests for being on the program with me today. And I hope that you all always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.
Amen. Amen.